Governor Mike DeWine banned the sale of intoxicating hemp earlier this month, but a Franklin County judge put that ban on hold. Could state lawmakers settle the issue with new regulations? This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss the latest with THC-infused products and the impact on businesses are Cincinnati Enquirer reporter Haley B. Miller, Urban Artifact Chief Brand Officer Scott Hand, and 50 West Brewing Company founder Bobby Slattery. Thank you all so much for being here today.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Haley, briefly explain Governor DeWine's intoxicating hemp executive order and why he took the action he did.
He signed an order earlier this month that would ban all intoxicating hemp products, all THC drinks, and he did this really out of frustration with lawmakers who have been deadlocked on this issue for months now. There's been a difference in philosophy about how best to approach regulation. And my read on this was that Governor DeWine was fed up, more or less. He's been calling for regulations on these products for a while because of concerns about children being able to access them. And so this was kind of his way of, you know, taking a stand, making a move, and sending a signal to lawmakers that it's time to do something.
And I know, Haley, some businesses filed suit. A judge paused the ban. Where does that stand?
So the ban is still blocked for now. The next court hearing in that case is October 28th, and the judge will decide whether to permanently block the law or, excuse me, the ban, or to let it continue. During the hearing for a temporary injunction, the judge seemed pretty skeptical of the reasoning behind DeWine's order, skeptical of the legality of it. So it'll be interesting to see how he rules next week.
Bobby, as I understand it, this ban also applied originally to THC-infused beverages. How many of those do you sell? What kind of revenue does that provide for you at 50 West?
Yeah, I mean, we've been selling them. We started manufacturing them about a year and a half ago, and we've watched the industry just explode. The customer base has been fascinating to watch. I know when we first launched them, it was sort of like, who's going to drink these? What is this? And we've just seen a new consumer come out. So, you know, one of the biggest ones that we've seen are these people moving away from alcohol. We saw from our craft beer sales, you know, alcohol's been going down. But there's a whole movement of people that are replacing that with these low milligram THC beverages to replace, whether it's your family coming out after the soccer game, you know, on Sundays, and they feel like they want to be able to be social or whatnot. So for us, I mean, we're on track. It was about $2 million in revenue this year overall is where we're tracking. So it was a major chunk, and definitely have had a fun couple of weeks kind of trying to navigate this and figure it out.
Yeah, fun is an interesting word to use for all this, I bet. Scott, what about at Urban Artifact? I know you all have some products. What does this mean for your business, these products?
A story is not too much different than what Bobby said. We've been brewing Costalo as an Urban Artifact sub-brand, which is a THC hemp-infused beverage, for about 2 years now. A thing that we learned is that as we were doing that, our expertise with all of the fruit and other pieces of the brewing and canning and packaging puzzle is... other brands were trying to launch and get into this segment too. So at Urban Artifact, we do a decent amount of contract brewing work in that space. So it's not just the loss of potentially not being able to make and brew and sell Costalo, but some of that other contract work could completely get cut off with the governor's ban.
Oh, so you're making these beverages for other brewers too?
We are,
on
yes.
On their behalf. Okay. Well, Haley, now lawmakers in the Ohio House passed new regulations for intoxicating hemp. First, I want to start with what these rules would do when it comes to edible products, where they could be sold, age restrictions. I want to wait on the THC-infused beverages and talk about the edible, the gummies and stuff first. What are these new rules about?
Yeah, so this bill would create basically an entirely new framework for hemp regulation, similar to what we have with recreational marijuana. It would establish hemp dispensaries where businesses could only sell these so-called intoxicating hemp products which are, you know, anything that can be smoked, eaten. This doesn't apply to like your CBD lotion or anything like that. But these dispensaries would be licensed like marijuana stores. There would be a bunch of restrictions in place in terms of testing, advertising, product labeling. Products would only be available to people 21 and older. So really just creating a system like what we have in place for marijuana, now for hemp.
And how would all of this apply to these THC-infused beverages that Scott and Bobby's companies make?
So the drinks are a little different. Breweries, bars, stores could still sell THC drinks and they could still manufacture them for businesses outside Ohio. There are specific rules for on-premise consumption versus carryout if a bar wants to offer a THC drink for people to drink on site. It could only have up to 5 milligrams of THC. Carryout beverages could have up to 10 milligrams. So those are the rules that lawmakers have come up with for drinks specifically.
Haley, how would these products be taxed? What's the situation there?
Yeah, so drinks would have a $1.20 per gallon excise tax on them. That would apply to sales when a manufacturer sells to a retailer or a distributor. The intoxicating hemp products like the edibles and the hemp flower, these hemp dispensaries would be subject to a 10% tax on those sales, which is a similar tax that we see with marijuana.
We're talking about the sale of intoxicating hemp products in Ohio and how state lawmakers are working to pass new regulations. Do you use any of these products? What do you think? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Bobby, what do you think about what the Ohio House has passed? You've been working with the owners of Rheingeist on how to kind of classify these beverages, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, Adam Bankovich is the CEO over there. Him and I have worked very closely. We've been working with Urban Artifact. We've been working with a lot of people throughout the state. Overall, it kind of felt like COVID is the best way to explain it. If you remember COVID, I mean, we had an executive order come in. It created chaos. You know, we had the Department of Agriculture show up on our doorstep the day it became illegal, and they came to embargo all of our product.
The day this intoxicating became illegal?
So I was headed to Columbus to go speak with, the first step we looked at is, hey, when this happens, How do we make this better? Because we're pro-regulation. And I think most brewers, you know, we wanted regulation in this space.
Why is that?
Because we're tired of people telling us it's an unregulated market. You know, some of this stuff's pretty logical. I mean, I got little kids. I don't tell my 8-year-old that he should be drinking our THC beverages, right? It's pretty obvious. So having things like that in place, and then also with regulation, there's a lot of retailers that were shutting us out that wanted to play in the space, but were afraid to come into it. And so, you know, the customer base and the occasion that people were using these products for, I feel like there was a misconception there. I think a lot of people looked at it as like people are looking to get as high as possible. And in a lot of instances, I think they were in most instances looking for lower calories, looking for a product that allowed them to socialize, gave them the feeling of something. And so by putting regulation in place, that would normalize it more. And so, yeah, we just kind of rolled with the punches from there. It was, what do I think of the House and what's come of it? It's probably been, I wish I would have studied more in school. I got an education on government over the last few months. Kudos to the House, how they wrote these THC bills. When you first went in and spoke with legislators, I mean, they have to know everything about everything going on. And there's a lot of specifics to this industry. Like, hey, what's the appropriate amount of milligrams? Where does that occasion change? How should these things be made? And so we did a lot of lobbying. We did a lot of speaking with our representatives. And when that bill came back, I think we were crawling through it, trying to find all the things that were wrong with it. They killed it. They did a great job. As it relates to the THC beverages, I think the way they're categorizing it with, you know, previously in the bill, they didn't want to allow on-premise, which as craft brewers, we saw this happen in the craft beer movement. Like a lot of people didn't know what a goza was when they were first drinking craft beer, and they're not just going to go to the grocery store and pick up a 6-pack to try it. So the idea that they can come to a craft brewery, and we were able to educate them on that. So that was an important piece. I think the milligrams are appropriate. I think that, you know, putting a 10 milligram cap, it's a good start for the industry, and it fits the occasion. And I was very pleased. And then also, if you looked at how the vote came out yesterday, this was bipartisan. This wasn't Democrat, Republican, and they really nailed it. I feel really good about it. You know, now it's onto the Senate, and we have to hope that they feel the same way. And I think that, you know, it's going to be exciting to kind of watch where this goes.
Scott, what do you think? It sounds like at least members of the Ohio House said, hey, let's regulate these intoxicating hemp products like marijuana. Do you think that makes sense? Do you think this legislation makes sense for you all?
Yeah, Bobby made a lot of good points. We're really happy with the draft. There's a few things we need to clarify, but they put a lot of obviously thought into it where instead of just blanket, shutting things down, they've clearly figured out how to do it, which is good. That is exactly what we've been advocating for, is we want this regulated. We want it to be safe and accessible to everybody. So hopefully with a little bit of tweaks and a little bit of pushback, we'll be able to get it more feasible for everyone across the board.
Okay. Well, we will continue our conversation after a short break, and later in the program, the personal items that belong to victims and survivors of Auschwitz and the stories they tell. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about Ohio's laws and regulations related to the sale of intoxicating hemp. My guests are Cincinnati Enquirer reporter Haley B. Miller, Urban Artifact Chief Brand Officer Scott Hand, and 50 West Brewing Company founder Bobby Slattery. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.com. So before our break, Scott, Bobby talked about this just a little bit, but why are people buying these beverages, maybe as opposed to beer or something else? And what do they do for you? Do they get you high?
Sure. Both when 50 West and Urban Artifact started, craft beer was booming, especially here in Cincinnati. It was big. And that got to a plateau and kind of, ebbs and flows over the years. But we've always seen new segments popping up, and that seems to be happening more and more frequently. So especially since we've got our expertise in fruit, we saw folks who weren't always coming to us looking for a beer anyway. So we've always been trying to figure out what that next piece of this, the market's going to be looking for. And as the hemp regulations started to unfold, we saw a good option for this. We also have non-alcoholic drinks too. And the more that we were finding out from customers what they wanted, the more we heard that non-alcoholic options were something that they were interested in. So this is an option for people who still want to do something that has some effects on them, and without any of the negative effects of alcohol, hangover, drunkenness, stuff like that.
Yeah. So what are the positive effects, Bobby? Like what's the buzz that people get, or is that even the right way to talk about
it? Yeah, so that's my favorite parts of this. What this really makes you think about is we went through this in alcohol. It just happened hundreds, if not thousands of years ago. So when you ask, does it get you high? It's kind of like, I imagine the first time we drank alcohol, everybody probably just got really drunk, right? Like you drank it and you're like, oh my gosh, I was whatever. And so then over time, we've learned about occasion, right? So we have words for that. You know, when you go to a happy hour for work, that you're not there to get the same feeling that you get when you get together for, with your buddies, you know what I mean? So I think we don't have a term for whatever that, I think in alcohol, we might use the word buzzed, and then we have drunk, right? So we're learning this right now. And so do these drinks get you high? Just like alcohol, if you drink a lot of them, they'll get you very high. Now, I think what we're seeing from a customer standpoint is this occasion. So we've seen it in our space. Our space is incredibly family friendly. If you come to 50 West, there's more kids there than adults in most instances. And so within the adults, what we saw was a lot of consumers are coming in the door for these occasions where they feel like they need to be social. Beverage is a social thing. So it's why NA beverages exist, right? NA beer and stuff. A lot of people are drinking those because they want to be part of the conversation, but they don't want to feel the effects of alcohol. And so what we've seen with the low milligram drinks is it allows you to be part of that conversation. It gives you a little bit of feeling of something, but it doesn't necessarily get you overly high. Now, if you drink and it depends on your tolerance and how many milligrams. But if you drank five milligram drinks, you're going to be feeling different than if you drank one or two of these.
Yeah. Just like if you drink one or two beers, you're going to feel very different than if you drink a case.
Yeah. And on the taxation front, that when they initially came out with the taxes on this, it was a $3.50 a gallon tax. And the argument was, well, that's just the same as liquor. And we had to go in there and go, well, hold on a second. When we pour a liquor drink and you're, you know, at a restaurant, you're really only getting an ounce and a half of liquor in that drink. And so now you're taxing us at 12 ounces. When you order a liquor drink, if you order a vodka at a restaurant, they don't pour you 12 ounces of vodka into a glass. And if you drank those 12 ounces of vodka, you would feel dramatically different than if you drank an ounce and a half.
Yep. That makes sense to me. Well, you referenced this a little bit earlier, Bobby, but Rheingeist told us that this rapid development of THC beverages reminds them of the craft beer boom too, but that it's moving at an even more rapid pace. So is that part of the reason it was important for your companies to enter this market, Scott, just because you saw this coming and thought, man, we need to be a part of this?
A little bit. We're always trying to figure out where the next piece is, but it's not like this one isn't the next one. They were already seltzers and ready to drink cocktails and other things. If you've been to a grocery store in the last 5 years, you've seen the beer shelves change, and you've also seen lots of other shelves pop up near them. So there's a bunch of beverage space, and there's lots of new things happening all the time. So yeah, it's easy for the brewers to get into this one because it uses essentially the same equipment and the same pieces. So that's from a manufacturing standpoint, that's why you're seeing craft brewers get into this market.
Yeah. And Bobby, you both talked about how some people, you know, don't want alcoholic beverages for whatever reason. So there are these NA beverages, then there are these, I think a lot of people would see this as a different category, these low milligram THC infused beverages. Are you seeing that more and more with younger people? I mean, is there a demographic shift with some of this too?
Yeah. One of my favorite things to think about is Gen Z. So I was part of a generation that grew up believing Animal House was the college dream. You know, you go to college, you drink as much as you possibly can, and you have the best time of your life, but you don't remember any of it. Well, when I went to college, social media didn't exist. And so these kids are growing up with their lives being documented in front of them. They don't want to make mistakes that they don't, you know, that they're going to have to live with for the rest of their lives. And so I think that a lot of them have started to turn away from alcohol to a certain extent. And we've just seen it where these people are, the younger generation, just they're just not using alcohol in the same way that it was used before. And so they're looking for other channels that allow them to be social. Also like calorie count. Go back 10 years ago, I don't know if calorie counts were on, you know, 20 years ago, it wasn't on everything. And so now you go pick up a glass of wine and realize, hey, I might be drinking 300 calories loaded with sugar. They're looking for alternatives to say, hey, that's not how I want to spend my 300 calories. And so with, you know, alcohol naturally has sugars in it in order to make alcohol, you have to have sugar. So it involves calories. So we can get these drinks down relatively low as far as the calorie count. There's a lot of factors that the Gen Z is taking into account. And I think that's where it's coming from.
Yeah. Did you want to add to that, Scott?
Yeah. And one of the pieces that kind of led to us doing that too, is we've got our partners, Radio Artifact, we've got a music studio live venue there. We saw an enormous number of musicians who were coming through who had been turned off of alcohol. So there was those folks and their fans who were coming to those shows are looking for some alternative. And this ended up being exactly the sort of thing they are looking for.
Yeah. Haley, I know one of the governor's concerns when he issued this ban was that some of the edible products in particular are in packaging that can be attractive to kids, look like other candy brands and that sort of thing. Has any of that concern been raised about these beverages?
I haven't heard that brought up as much with beverages. It's really been some of these hemp edibles that are sold in convenience stores and other places that, you know, look like fruit gushers or nerds. And, you know, there are a lot of hemp operators out there who say these are the bad actors. You can walk into a wellness store and see, you know, professionally made CBD products that are only sold to adults. But DeWine has really fixated on these products that he's worried appeal to kids and that can either be too easily sold to them, or maybe they see them at home, their parent brought them, and they think it's a snack and not something they shouldn't be eating.
Yeah. Bobby and Scott, is that a concern for either of you in terms of not necessarily even packaging, but just where your products are sold? You know, if they're sold side by side with some of these other things.
Yeah, I think we agree with one of the rare things. We agree with the governor in that those type of products are not something that should be readily available. And that's one of the things we've seen in a few other states. They have very specific rules about what type of illustrations and things are allowed on the packaging. So other states have attempted to put some legislation in place. I think just the smart things that they've suggested, the labeling, the testing, warning symbols, stuff like that is the right way to go so that we have flexibility to market where we need to.
Yeah.
We're happy with it over our graphic designers back at 50 West. Probably not as much. Sunflower used to have a really pretty little smiley face on it that we had to pull off. But I think labeling restrictions make sense. And they outlined it in the law. The other thing is they're asking that this set be segmented different in the store. That's something else that you have to take into consideration as you get into grocery and gas station. You know, these beverages need to have their own specific spots within that store. And just like craft beer, I mean, you don't want your craft beer put over in the soda section when you want it close to the beer so the customer knows where they're going. So I thought they did a nice job with it. The labeling thing, it can be, we lost a smiley face, but you know, we'll take it.
Well, you know, we've talked about how the industry is changing. Younger people maybe aren't drinking as much alcohol and craft beer and that sort of thing. I've also read reports from other brewers that this has been a tough time with the cost of raw ingredients, materials for canning and packaging. What's that been like for you, Scott?
Oh, I mean, trying to figure out where the next source of fruit is coming from is always a hassle, too. Tariffs and cost of goods going up has been a wild guessing game over the last few years. So it's just a learning process. We're doing our best.
Yeah. Are you seeing that, too, Bobby?
Yeah. I mean, it's like anybody. We manufacture products that involve a lot of ingredients. We have a great team of people that work on that. And we have certain costs that we try to hit. But yeah, end of the day, you just figure it out. And if the prices get too high, you know, unfortunately, you just have to push that onto the consumer at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Haley, what is next with this legislation? I know the House passed it with overwhelming support yesterday. Any idea how much support it has in the Senate?
That's the big question. The House dramatically changed the Senate bill. So it's likely going to what's called conference committee. That's where House and Senate lawmakers will convene to hash out major differences on legislation. The Senate has been a lot more conservative with THC drinks in particular, and I think they also need some time to look at this hemp framework that the House proposed because that was a brand new idea.
Yeah.
So,
well, thank you so much. I've been talking with Cincinnati Enquirer reporter Haley B. Miller, Urban Artifact Chief Brand Officer Scott Hand, and 50 West Brewing Company founder Bobby Slattery. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Up next, a new exhibit at the Cincinnati Museum Center has hundreds of objects from Auschwitz. We discuss the stories they tell. This is Cincinnati Edition.